Welcome one and welcome all into 49ers Live. I'm Joe Fan, joined by voice of the 49ers, Ted Robinson. Ted, you look back at the dress rehearsal on Sunday night against the Vikings. It was very promising for that first half in which the starters played the entire two quarters.
Yeah, Joe, look, the first half was exactly what everybody who's a 49er fan, what I'm sure what John Lynch, what Kyle Shanahan wanted to see. The offense was efficient. The offense was clean, which I think got lost a little bit in the overall thing. You know, you get excited by the touchdown passes, et cetera. But the penalties were dramatically down. The pre-snap stuff was fairly clean. Kyle Shanahan was really enthused by the defense. He thought the defense played at a high level against primarily the first route. I think Rudolph, the tight end, was the only top Viking starter that didn't play in the game. And the defense set a tone. And, of course, we remember two thundering hits by Reuben Foster and by Eric Reed. And I after each of them, just where we were positioned on radio, John Lynch and the 49er football staff were sitting next to us in the booth, and I looked over both times, and John Lynch had a smile from ear to ear that you couldn't believe when he saw those two hits.
I mean, every time you see that, you've got to just get this. We got him with the 31st overall pick? Yeah. Let's check out the highlights, roll the tape on what happened in the first half, and obviously starting with that play. In the Viking ship in Minneapolis, Minnesota, again, week three of the preseason, this is how it all got started. Reuben Foster setting the tone. -5 on the first play from scrimmage. That's what you like to see. Then off the play action, the fake end around. Brian Hoyer said he knew he had a touchdown before he snapped the football. Marquise Goodwin, 46 yards. The sprinting finish for the touchdown celebration. Just what the doctor ordered for the 49ers' first team offense. They were not done. This is Hoyer to Hyde from 24 yards out. El Guapo getting in the end zone. 14-0 going into the halftime locker room. The starters were done, and they'll be on ice until week one. Here's Raheem Mostert on 3rd and 23, and you know what they always say. You love when a 3rd and 23 screen pass turns into an 87-yard touchdown. And Raheem Mostert deuces all the way into the end zone. What a play. An individual effort as he's looking to lock up a roster spot. And if one Raheem Mostert touchdown is good, two is just so much better. Sprint to the pylon. He gets in the end zone. A huge day. 130 total yards for Raheem Mostert. We'll get to him in just a second. Here's Terry Newby getting in the end zone for the Vikings. It's a one-point game. I know Ted Robinson screaming they go for a two-point conversion to avoid overtime. They do. And it's Taylor Heinicke diving over the pylons, style points from the preseason. The Vikings win it 32-21. A sour note to end on. Obviously, if this is a regular season game, there's not much worse way to draw up a loss. But I think from this game, you're really only focusing on the first two quarters. And I think, obviously, they would have liked the offense to continue maybe a little bit more, put up more points throughout the second quarter as well. They got a little bit stifled towards halftime. All things considered, though, pretty darn good.
Yeah, look. Joe, I mean, big picture, say, to me, it's actually a reflection of preseason football. All right, so week one, the 49ers were really pretty poor in the first half at Kansas City. They ended up winning the game in the fourth quarter. Against Minnesota, the 49ers dominated the first half on both sides of the ball and end up losing the game on the last couple of plays. To me, the Kansas City game would actually be a loss.
Yeah.
And the Minnesota game would be a win. The actual end results were opposite. But to me, and I think most football, I'm sure John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan look at it, they would say the same thing. Well, at Kansas City, I don't care that we won the game. That wasn't very good. Now, the Minnesota game, you're going to use the right lines. We need to learn to finish, et cetera, et cetera. The truth of the matter is that most of the guys that were out there finishing the game are not going to be on the final roster, or at least a good percentage of them aren't. So those aren't people that are going to be finishing games for you in October, November. But and I would say one other point that maybe something to watch for tomorrow night here is that C.J. Beathard wasn't sharp. You know, he got a lot of run in the game in Minnesota, and that wasn't his best showing. So in a game where you expect Beathard and Barkley to both play quite a bit against the Chargers, I'm sure that's something that's going to be in C.J.'s mind. He wants to put a better showing, look more like the guy from the first two games.
If you have a question for myself or Ted Robinson, be sure to ask, and we'll get to those in just a second. The moment that really struck me is I asked Brian Hoyer after the game, because they're on the 46-yard line. He's got a play fake and then a fake end around. One, I mean, you look at the pocket. There's no one within 10 yards of him. But there's not a ton of space to work with. He said that was the worry with that play, is being able to get it up and down in time. But he said he knew before the snap, based on where the safety was, that it was going to be a touchdown. Marquise Goodwin based on where the safety was, knew it was going to be a touchdown. They were in the same place the week before, and you could already see the safety's momentum start carrying himself backwards before the snap. And that's just a wild concept, right? I mean, these guys are already so in tune with Kyle Shanahan's offense that they know what play they're about to run, and they know what the look they're staring at from a defense, that before the snap even starts, they know they've got a touchdown. Obviously, they execute it perfectly. A great pocket again. Marquise Goodwin, his speed, burns Xavier Rhodes and the Vikings defense. I mean, you know it's a good play when there's not a guy within 10 yards of the quarterback or the receiver who's catching the ball in the end zone.
Yeah, and there was another play in the first half I know Kyle talked about. It was a pass to Juszczyk, the new fullback, going back against the grain, right to left on offense. That was the same sort of thing where they had a look, they saw it, they knew the play would work. And I'm going to tell you, Joe, it's a great point you bring up because I was just listening this week to some, you know, people who study the game from a much more technical aspect than people like myself. We're announcers and we look at things more in big pictures. But they were talking once again, confirming what a lot of football people have said. There was no better play caller in football last year than Kyle Shanahan. There was no better offense in football last year than the Atlanta Falcons. And one of the things that people point out, and remember this game, and I believe it was early in the season, they went to Seattle and put a pretty good one on the Seahawks defense, the Falcon offense against the Seahawks defense. So just project this year.
And then did so again in the playoffs.
Right.
But yes, in Seattle.
The last couple of years, the 49ers have just had a horrendous time on offense against Seattle's defense. It's just been it's been dominated by the Seahawks. So now you bring Kyle Shanahan's play calling in here. And we understand he doesn't have the personnel that he had with Atlanta. We all know that. But he has personnel that he knows and he's familiar with. And can that lead as early in the season as week two when the 49ers go to Seattle to at least have the chance on offense to function, to compete? Because we haven't seen that from the 49ers. Probably it's been 4 or 5 years since the 49ers have had the chance to really function on offense against Seattle.
And you don't want to put the cart before the horse or look too far ahead, but as you kind of get a taste of this offense rolling and Brian Hoyer completing his first 10 passes, he goes 12 of 17, 176 yards, 2 touchdowns, a perfect passer rating for most of the first half. And you have your home opener against Carolina, and then week two, you're going straight to Seattle, and so it's an early opportunity.
There's the Juszczyk play.
The play to Juszczyk that you were alluding to. I mean, it's easy to get excited. I mean, you want to be able to go up to the Northwest and put up a battle and put up a fight. And, you know, Kyle Shanahan's going to get that opportunity once a year for the next 6 years.
Yeah. And again, I think, at least from my viewpoint, creating unreal expectation is not the goal here. And I think that's, you know, I'll always have a little bit of a border of caution around these comments.
Yeah.
But it is something, again, at this time of year, which is all about optimism and hope, it is something for 49er fans to feel optimistic about.
Absolutely.
And that we saw in the first half what this offense can be capable of. And, again, to me, that's going to be an early measuring stick is can the 49ers go to Seattle? And I'm not saying win the game. We all understand how ridiculously hard that has been to win up there. But can you just have some offense? Literally. I would have to go back and look at the numbers again to refresh, but haven't scored very many touchdowns over the last 5 years in that stadium.
Especially touchdowns in the first half when the game is still a battle, right? Carlos Hyde, I think, had 2 touchdowns last year. Game well out of reach at that point. Before we move on to what's coming both tomorrow night in the preseason finale right here at Levi's Stadium against the Los Angeles Chargers, but also in the days following with the roster cuts.
You said it. You said it. The Los Angeles Chargers.
I
way
did.
To go,
yeah,
Joe
I know.
Fan.
It's taking some adjustment.
I've already got my over-under
how many times
I say San Diego tomorrow night. Yeah, I've got that going.
We got the practice in with the Rams last year.
Yeah, I screwed that one
up too. And I think I said St. Louis over and over again, so I'm trying. I'm trying my best. But Raheem Mostert had a fantastic game, and really it's his second fantastic game of the preseason. He's really only played two. They kept him out of that game against Denver to give other guys a look. But against Kansas City, he led the team in rushing, really helped drain the clock and secure a win. And then 2 touchdowns against the Minnesota Vikings. Obviously, the incredible individual effort on the 87-yard touchdown catch on 3rd and 23. Like you said, you think first down, then touchdown. He got both. A touchdown later, I mean, 130 total yards. He might be the team's starting kick returner should he make the roster. But he has made his case as well as anybody on this team.
And I just, before we started live here, Joe was talking with Kyle Shanahan in advance of tomorrow night. And it's, again, a concept he talked about. And he said there are definitely jobs up for grabs tomorrow night. There's no question about it. And special teams has been kind of the redundant theme. And he said, yeah, that's going to be it. And he emphasized a couple of things, again, that I think are good for fans to understand, especially if you're significant, you know, if you're into this enough, you really care about the last seven spots, let's say, on the 53, which are probably the ones that are going to get finalized tomorrow night. But it's going to be hard to make this roster if you're just a special teams player. So just think back, if you're a faithful fan, on the championship teams a few years back, Blake Costanzo was here. And Blake Costanzo, I'm not sure, played very many snaps ever from scrimmage unless it was a complete blowout game. Blake Costanzo was a linebacker, but he was a special team stud. And he earned a spot on this team simply doing that. Now, given where the 49ers have been the last couple of years, and Kyle's view is that that's going to be hard to do. It's going to be hard for him to keep someone just as a special teams player. So to Raheem Mostert, now your point, Joe, it'd be hard to keep a player on this team just to return kicks. You don't get many shots in a regular season game.
Especially now that they moved it up.
Right, depending on how teams approach.
Yeah.
A large percentage of the kickoffs end in touchbacks. Now, last year we saw the 49ers adopt a different view. They used Phil Dawson second half of the year to short position kick, and actually to better effect.
Yep.
The drive start for opponents was actually better with Phil kicking in the field of play than it was with Bradley Pinion's strong leg and the touchback. But the point being, so if you're looking at Raheem Mostert, so he can return kicks. I'm not sure we've seen him return punts. I think it says that's just been Jeremy Curley and Trent Taylor, right?
Correct.
But Raheem Mostert has played kick. He's been the outside cover man on punts a couple of times. And, of course, we've just seen how he's been able to contribute from scrimmage. That's how Raheem Mostert has, to me, he's put himself right there where I personally would be surprised if he doesn't make the team. That's just me speaking. But he's done enough in all those facets to prove that he can contribute.
This is one of the great stories of the preseason, and that's one of the great parts of the preseason is these guys who emerge. Who Raheem Mostert was on the team last year on the practice squad, got called up for maybe the last one or two games of the season. Had that fake punt with Jeremy Curley. It ended up being the longest punt return of the season, a 33-yarder. And he's still kind of an afterthought when you add guys like Capri Bibbs and Joe Williams and Matt Breida start standing out, and Tim Hightower is added. Mm-hmm. I mean, Raheem Mostert, until this week, I don't think has really been considered as a serious contender. And now it's like, okay, we can't ignore it anymore. And I went back, I wrote a story about him this week. I think the 49ers, it's at least the seventh, maybe the eighth team he's been on.
That's it. Since
2015. I mean, it's unbelievable how he's bounced around the league in such a short time. I mean, Sean Drone-esque, if you will. You know, we told that story with him. And so such is the nature of the business. But Raheem Mostert, again, I mean, patience, biding his time, and making the most of his opportunity.
Yeah, this is his third training camp. But it's the seventh NFL team that he's already been with. And that was the end of last season when he got here.
It's a lot of zip codes.
Which is only a second year in the NFL, but the 49ers were his seventh team. I think what is elevated Raheem Mostert, what probably has always earned him that spot. Why do you get to seven camps? Speed.
Yeah.
It's speed. And I think that's the element that has caught Kyle Shanahan's eye, understandably. And so let's just say, look at Victor Bolden. I've had a lot of fans, because Victor's an Oregon State guy, so out here clearly a lot of Pac-12 football fans have asked me about Victor Bolden. And look, Victor Bolden can do this. So, and we saw it. I mean, he's got this capability. And I think where Kyle Shanahan's view comes into play, how many times would Victor Bolden have a chance to do this in a regular season game again? How many chances would he get to run that kind of a kickback? And then the option or the opportunity to help in other ways. How many other special teams can a guy play, and can he help from scrimmage? That's where Mostert has already established himself. I would think Victor Bolden tomorrow night is going to get a chance. I would believe we'll see him play scrimmage more as a receiver. Maybe he's going to get a chance to contribute on punt cover and kick cover. But it's great. I mean, Victor Bolden has the speed again that to make big plays that we saw in the pack. He doesn't have the Raheem Mostert speed. He's not a track standout. So it's a different sort of speed. But he has that maybe big play ability is a better phrase for it, that I would assume we'll see Victor have more of a chance tomorrow night to do that.
Every team needs a home run hitter. The 49ers have shown that they have a couple right now, the young guys, Mostert and Bolden. I'm glad you brought up Victor Bolden. Producer extraordinaire Nate Steele created a graphic for us using some next-gen stats, and I don't know what Google search he used to find these numbers, but apparently Victor Bolden, 21 and a half miles per hour on his kick return. Marquise Goodwin, pardon me, just south of 21 miles an hour on his 46-yard touchdown catch. That's faster than a Roadrunner and slower than the Brown Bear. My biggest takeaway is I had no idea how fast Brown Bears were. Now I know. Knowledge is power. Thank you, Nate Steele, for that look inside the speed of some 49ers playmakers.
First of all people of my generation who grew up watching Roadrunner cartoons, you kidding me? Brown Bears are faster than Roadrunners?
Yeah.
And I just spent 2 weeks in Alaska.
How slow is Wile E. Coyote?
I know.
I mean, for crying out loud.
Perfect, Joe. And I just spent 2 weeks in Alaska in July, and we were just desperate to see a brown bear. We never did. We saw moose. We saw bald eagles.
It's probably
we saw everything.
A good thing
and I
you
did.
That thing would have chased you down.
Well, no, they tell you. No. If you see one, you're told. Yeah. Yeah, back off. But, I mean, to see one to move that way, 21 miles an hour, that's pretty awful. They look, Victor Bolden. And the fact that he was faster than Marquise Goodwin's touchdown catch. Marquise is obviously another track speed guy. That tells you a lot about Victor Bolden.
Yeah, they're cooking. Before we get ahead to tomorrow night and the weekend of cuts, here's a teaser. I know the Brick by Brick series has been a hit on social media, and episode 3 is just around the corner. Here's a quick tease. First scene here.
Guys are focused and, you know, ready to put the work in necessary to win.
Keep building the foundation.
With the same purpose and the same goals in mind.
You just gotta keep continuing to get better.
It takes more than one person.
Can't take a step backwards.
That starts each day with your preparation and with everything that you do. It's all team-oriented.
Brick
by brick.
Ooh! Yeah. I love it. Got a little goosebumps going.
Yeah.
That is just a fantastic work from our 49ers Studios crew. I love those opens, the talking heads back and forth, brick by brick. That's powerful stuff. So, again, a hat tip to the Studios crew. It's really been a fun month.
Good. It's been awesome. And, look, it's a reflection of the, I think, the entire, to use a somewhat overused word, culture that has been established since John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan arrived here, and the ability to have everybody contribute to studios and have this access. And I think it's, by the way, I think it's been awesome because it's in slightly more condensed form than the TV show Hard Knocks. I think it's great. So it's a great watch. If you have 15, 18 minutes, bang, you just do that. It doesn't take an hour out of your life.
It's been an ongoing theme. The transparency with the new regime has just been something that's been so welcomed by us in the building and also by fans, really getting, you know, bringing that connection back and bringing everyone closer to the team. As the new era of 49ers football is underway, and it's really only a couple of weeks away from really getting going. We don't want to get ahead of ourselves. We'll have next week to preview week one against Carolina, and so much. I can't wait for that. But we still have one more game to go. Like you said, Kyle Shanahan said spots are still up for grabs. Let's just throw it all in together with tomorrow night against the Chargers, and then the following, only one round of cuts. The 49ers have begun a little bit. What do you expect over the next 3-4 days?
Well, first up tomorrow night, a lot of starters won't play. I'm understanding it's 20 or so, maybe a few more than 20 starters that aren't even going to dress. So that's
as it should be.
Well, that's going to get played more typically like a fourth preseason game. Now, having said that, there are still roster spots. It's essential for a lot of players on this team tomorrow night. We always know as well, Joe, that, look, the game matters. And it matters in a different way. The record, the one loss doesn't matter, but it matters to the livelihoods of a lot of players, not just here, but elsewhere. And I think back, Joe was probably in eighth grade when this happened, but the 49ers forever played the Chargers in this fourth preseason game. And way back when, playing in San Diego, and in the fourth preseason game, the Chargers quarterback, because they never play Phillip Rivers in this game, Scott Tolzien.
Yep.
Scott Tolzien's a guy the 49ers had liked coming out of Wisconsin, didn't draft him. In fact, nobody drafted him. Chargers signed him. He plays lights out against the 49ers in the fourth preseason game, but the Chargers, I think, still had clipboard Jesus, Charlie Whitehurst, as the backup. So they cut Tolzien. The 49ers signed him right away, and he came here and was the third behind, at that time, Alex Smith and Colin Kaepernick. And Scott was the third here for at least 2 seasons. And why I'm saying why that mattered was he never played in a regular season game for the 49ers, but it got his career going. And to the point where he probably is week one for the Colts right now. I mean, Andrew Luck hasn't thrown a pass yet. I've got to believe Scott Tolzien is going to be the week one starter for the Colts. So my point is that those sorts of stories can emerge from a game that we all look at often and go, why? Well, it does matter for people like that.
Point well made. It was sixth grade, by the way, Ted, not eighth grade. Don't call me older than I look.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on. Greg wants to know who the third tight end is going to be. Obviously, we haven't even discussed the big news yesterday of trading Vance McDonald, something that kind of felt inevitable since the draft. They made it public that the 49ers were shopping Vance McDonald, and now they found a match in the Steelers with the highest bidder, and Vance McDonald is on his way to Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Well, again, the clear conclusion is hope it's good for Vance. We hope this is a place where he fits and can show the skill that was flashed here. Unfortunately, it never came out in as a consistent pass receiver. It seemed pretty clear once Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch arrived, new sets of eyes, and in life we learned this, new boss, new rules. Well, that was the situation here, and it was clear that they didn't see Vance McDonald in the same way that Pryor's people had. You know, it's unfortunate because if you think back, now to put some perspective on this thing, Delanie Walker was a terrific player. Terrific player here. And Delanie went to free agency, got paid a lot of money to go to Tennessee to be a lead receiver, where he's pretty much been that.
A Pro Bowler.
Vance was drafted in large part to replace Delanie, to offer a lot of what Delanie did. And what's odd to me, sitting back, remembering this, was that Vance came out with this buildup from Rice as a receiver. He actually became, over time here, I think, was regarded as a pretty good blocker.
Yeah.
As a tight end. Never really developed to be that receiving threat on a consistent basis. We saw the flashes of it last year with the big plays, but never that way on the consistent basis.
Absolutely. Last one from Jason before we depart here on 49ers Live. Appreciate the questions, Greg and Jason. Any guesses on how many running backs the team will keep? Again, this is another conversation that Raheem Mostert has forced himself into.
Yeah.
I mean, I think your first blush, you'd think that Tim Hightower might be the odd man out with Joe Williams, a guy they coveted in the draft, then Matt Breida, a guy who there's just not a chance he makes to your practice squad should you let him go. He was the backup to Carlos Hyde on Sunday in the dress rehearsal. And so what do you make of that carousel of running backs?
Yeah, that's one of the positions, and I'm guessing it's one position. I'm going to guess it's five for four jobs. That's just me again guessing here the day before the game. But I think the dynamic is pretty clear. You have a 31-year-old in Tim Hightower, who Kyle Shanahan knows, who Kyle Shanahan likes a great deal. He knows Tim Hightower. He knows what Tim can bring to a team. We 49ers collectively haven't seen a whole lot of it in the preseason games, but Kyle knows.
Yeah.
He hasn't known about Breida and Mostert and, of course, Joe Williams, a guy that Kyle wanted to draft. So that's been the way the preseason games have played out. But they've played out, you got to believe, in favor of the younger guys. And I think the question ultimately comes down to, what do you do with a 31-year-old back on a team coming off 2-14 that wants to get better, but that's a 2-14 season that you're coming from, as opposed at the expense of younger backs. And I think the other dynamic that I'll watch a little bit tomorrow night too, you know, Breida has shown well. Mostert has shown very well. Joe Williams probably needs to start showing a little well in the games. You know, and again, Joe's a guy that Kyle went out and wanted and targeted with a draft pick. So I'm not suspecting there's a lot of danger there. But right now, Breida and Mostert have taken full advantage of their game opportunities.
100%. I actually just took a crack at checking off 53 names.
Yeah.
Not an easy task.
Yeah.
There are some decisions that I do not envy for John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. And it's just such an unknown of all. I mean, I'm sure there's 60. I'm sure that they could put down, without even seeing what else is out there, make a practice squad of 10 guys that they really like, and then it just becomes this leap of faith, like, is he going to get there? And we saw it with Jeff Driscoll, last year. He didn't make it to the practice squad, and all of a sudden, you're kind of left with your hands in the air and without out of options.
So here's a couple things to watch for fans over the weekend when the cuts come. Nick Mullins. We haven't seen Nick Mullins play in a preseason game. Undrafted quarterback out of Southern Miss. So hasn't taken a snap in a game yet, but the 49ers have gone too long, as Joe just alluded to, and it's been my little scab here. They've gone too long without developing a quarterback on the practice squad. Could Nick Mullins be that guy? So that it factors into how many quarterbacks you keep on the 53 if you're able to get Nick Mullins through waivers on your practice squad. Second point is, and I'm guilty as much forgetting, we emphasize the 53-man roster all the time, but we can't lose sight it's actually 46. It's 46 on game day. And so, you know, you cut to 53, but you have to know these are the 46 that I'm going to have up on game day. And so, for example, let's just take Jimmy Ward. And I don't know if Jimmy Ward's going to play tomorrow night or not. But if Jimmy Ward doesn't play tomorrow night, you run out there on week one against Carolina. If Jimmy Ward, who hasn't tested that in game action yet, goes five plays and feels it again, that really hurts your team on game day. When you only have 46 up, if Jimmy for some reason isn't able to go. So again, I don't know medically whether he's going to play tomorrow night or not, but I think it's important because on game day, when you only dress 46, it's very hard, and it's going to happen at some point. You're always going to have a player that gets hurt early in the game. You can't control that. But it's hard when you know that there's a possibility of it and you dress a guy, you're not sure that he can go on game day and respond.
So many storylines, so many players to discuss. And just off the top of my head, Robert Saleh, giving some serious love to Jaquaski Tartt yesterday, mm-hmm. Saying that they want to get him on the field, have to get creative in terms of getting him on the field, but so much to come. We'll be here next Wednesday. It'll be our final Wednesday episode as we preview week one. We will move then to Mondays following each game of the regular season. So much to come as the 2017 regular season is just around the corner. For Ted Robinson, I'm Joe Fant. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you next week right here on 49ers Live.